I baked you a pie.
Oh boy, what flavor?
Pie flavor.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome back. Welcome back to the show. This is episode 517. I gotta say, happy Pi Day to everybody. The day of pi, 3.14. Mike, don't get too hungry.
I'm hangry now.
That is not real pie. You're not going to eat that pie.
It's not fair.
But it is March 14th, just one day short of the Ides of March.
Yes.
Which we'll celebrate. We'll celebrate tomorrow. But welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the show. This is the Two Dumb Yinzers. Yeah. Got Mike at the Steeler Central Mobile Studio. Say good morning, Mike.
Good morning. What up, everyone? I'm ready to go. I don't know about y'all, but I'm fired up.
Derpy, back here doing his thing. How you doing this morning, Derpy?
I'm ready to go talk some sports. How we doing, Baldy? Derpy. How we doing, old man?
Derpy is quickly finding his way to be muted this morning, which we'll have no problem doing if he keeps up his antics. But good morning. Yes. We got all kinds of things going on today, guys. The busy free agency is still going on. There's still moves going on, still people traveling, players traveling across the country, finding new teams, teams meeting with players, teams releasing players, teams signing players. We sat quiet yesterday. The Steelers did. A few things got done. But nothing that's going to get you too excited today. As the past couple days did, we do. Obviously, we have some holes left we have to fill, but they did not get filled yesterday, guys. Let's start with right off the top. I'm sure everybody heard Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph is going to the Tennessee Titans. On a one-year, $3.62 million deal. So, you know, on one hand, you got a team that's getting a Hall of Fame quarterback for $1.2 million on a one-year, and then you got a team getting a career third stringer for a one-year on a $3.62 million. I'll take it. I'll take it any day of the week. And, you know, it's funny down in Tennessee what they got going on here because did they cut Ryan Tannehill? Is he no longer on the team?
Yeah, his contract was done.
I mean, he's like a free agent.
He's a free agent. Yeah.
Okay. So what's going on down there? They have on their depth charts right now. He's already in the number two spot penciled in on the depth chart behind Will Levis. It's Will Levis, Mason Rudolph, and Malik Willis, who's not quite gaining up any speed. I think that they're probably losing their mind with Malik Willis now because, like I said, you bring in somebody, you're already placing him in front of Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Is Malik Willis going to be there, Mason Rudolph?
It wouldn't surprise me if Mason Rudolph eventually ends up starting down there. I don't know if he's going to start right away because they're committed to Will Levis. He's showed some promise, but you know, Mason, when given the chance, you know, we saw what he can do at the end of last year. We saw what he can do the couple times he filled in for Ben, especially after his second crazy year in the league. He can move the ball. It wouldn't surprise me if he ends up beating out Will Levis at some point next year. But you know what? Congratulations, Mason Rudolph. You know what? Well deserved and nice fresh start for him.
Everyone's saying that. Everyone's like, good luck. It was so nice having you. I'm over here thinking, you know, it really does nothing for me one way or the other. So no, whatever,
dude. Hey, man, you know, happy for the guy. You know, he was you can tell his teammates loved him. He got that going for him.
Mason Rudolph, you may see him in a Tennessee uniform near you. Also, the Steelers re-signed their long snapper, Chris Kuntz. He's re-signed with a three-year deal, Mike. That's a big deal. That's as important almost as getting your punter and your kicker lined up. Once you got that guy, and he is that guy, you don't want to lose him. You want to kind of keep him. So we got Chris Kuntz locked up for three more years.
And I'm trying to remember like any bad snaps from him, like any egregious that cost us punts, cost us field goals. Can't think of any. And he's always down there early making tackles too. So,
and the thing is, like, that usually stands out to me too. So I would totally recognize. Mm-hmm. I don't, as you said, I can't think of one. I can't think of one time Chris Kuntz had
And then, you know, you've got our holders the past couple of years have been great at, you know, making those quick little adjustments too. So even if there is a bat snap, it's not noticeable and they're not, you know, maybe a little low, but other than that, you know, dude's solid. Man, he's, like I said, he's down there in coverage too.
As it, I said, though, this, you know, these are guys that, yeah, the, yep. It's key. You don't, you know, you get one, that works for you. You get one that's a good player at that position. You don't want to lose them. So that's a good thing. The Chris Koontz is re-signed. So that is 3 years. And also on the special teams, Miles Killebrew also gets re-signed, which, you know, another thing that, Fairweather Steeler fans, you know, they probably think, okay, what's this? You know, who is this guy? But at the end of the day, he is a huge part on special teams. He makes a lot of plays, and he is the captain and an all-pro pro bowler at the position. Yeah. So, you know, you got to be happy about that. Taking care of the little things as well,
yeah,
it goes a long way. And, you know, taking care of the big things, obviously, is what gets people excited and gets the dopamine. But you know what I mean? Once at the end of the day, these little things, they need to be done. Mm-hmm. The other things are even going to matter. Once the season starts.
Yeah, this is like, if you're more of a hockey fan, this is like those key fourth line signings. You know, they're not sexy, you know, they're not going to win the offseason awards, but you need those guys. You need your special teamers, you need your fourth liners, and that's like the equivalent of, man, of what these signings are. The low key under the radar signing. You know, you can you watch enough football, you see what bad special teams play can do to a team. You know, you can win and lose games in that special teams battle.
Mike, we brought up briefly, Malik Willis, and I was talking to somebody yesterday, and we were talking about Mark Robinson a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How much longer can you possibly give a guy to try to make an adjustment? It's three years now. I just can't understand. And if it's taking 3 years for somebody to learn something, maybe that's not your guy. Maybe you might want to just go grab somebody that already knows the position. I mean, yeah, he shows signs of promise, but that's no guarantee. The guy hits hard, but that's no guarantee. How much longer, Mike, are we going to waste with this Mark Robinson transition?
I think he's, you know, we saw at the end of last year when he started playing more and more, and he's going to end up being a key contributor this year. Especially, you know, he's going to be, now he's getting quote-unquote buried under the depth charts. You have, you know, Landon Roberts. Yeah, now Patrick.
That's what
Green.
I'm saying. It's not pointing to him actually progressing. The things that are happening are happening, you know, like, with the idea, okay, that this guy isn't going to move up the chart because we still keep filling the spots above him and burying him in the chart. Yeah. There's just no, Mike, I understand what you're saying. He came in and he looked well at the end of the season. But I mean, realistically, at any position, anywhere, if you're over 1,000, 1,100 days and you still don't get it, maybe you should drop the project.
He was getting it. And, you know, he's a key special teams player. And he's going
to
be.
When we talk about how
backup.
Long it's taken Kenny to learn being a starting quarterback, which there's a lot to learn. I just don't understand.
He improved leaps and bounds from rookie year to his second year. So yeah, he's going to be a key backup. He's going to be penciled in as the number two inside backer of whoever he's going to back up. So he's made huge strides. You know,
I see the same thing you're doing, and I know exactly what you're saying.
He's a key special teams player, so not bad for a seventh round draft pick. You get a guy that's going to contribute on special teams and be a key rotational piece. I
will admit it when I acknowledge that he's contributing. And as I said, yeah, you've seen him a little more at the end of the season last year. But again, there's nothing that shows me that this 3 year project is turning into a gem. They turn this glass into a diamond. There's nothing that's showing me that. It's you know, okay, maybe he might be a third string linebacker if he gets it one day. As I said, I don't understand the project unless that's all he is. He's just this dude that they're going to use as needed. They're going to try to work with him. If he gets it, he gets it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. As I said, anywhere else on the planet, if you're trying to get a job and it's taking you over 1,100 days to get, chances are somebody else is going to come along and get that position.
I don't know what you're getting at. He's getting, he's going to be a key rotational rotational player in that linebacker.
That's what they've been telling us,
and
though.
He started. They brought him along. They're bringing him along slowly because he played running back up until
Mike.
Up
it's
until
been 1,100 plus days.
You're
as a human being,
whole different role, whole different
should, Mike. Three. Come on, brother. It's over 1,000 days. It shouldn't take a human being that long to learn anything. People go to college for less than that and get a degree.
He's competing against the top 1% of football players, and he's doing it as, you know, learning on the fly, and he's doing a hell of a job. Every time they put him in there, he hasn't looked lost. He's looked like he knows how to play.
So then he should be playing more.
But he has NFL starters in front of him. He was a seventh-round draft pick.
You've literally said that three times, and there's nothing that I didn't understand the first few times you said it.
Like you want a seventh-round draft pick to play like a first-round draft pick who's or like an all-pro.
No, I would like to see him play because he's been a three-year project, and they've been telling us how long.
2 years. He's been in the league. This is going on.
This is his third season, so I'm going to say 3 years.
But he can't play right now because there's no one playing.
Oh, okay, do what you want. You're really missing the point. The point being is – this was the project that they said we're going to work on him. We're going to make him transition from running back.
Yeah.
Why at this point, let the guy play running back if that's what he does well. I mean, why transition him, stick him behind the top 1% linebackers, and give him two or three years to get there? It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, somebody could have came along that could have been more productive along that time. You could have probably paid the same kind of money to, and he could have actually been beneficial to your team.
This is what you do with seventh round draft picks. You bring them along slowly.
Or guys actually learn in a matter of time and jump in.
He's made plays when he's been in there. You
like,
want him to
very
make
minimal
tackles, apparently.
Very minimal amount of plays. Yes, he's a seven-rounder, but yes, on the other hand, he's making plays. I get
he's
what you're playing
plays.
Both sides of the fence here, but what I'm saying is the dude, he just doesn't seem to be getting it, because if he does, wouldn't you think that he would be more involved?
He got more playing time.
You
want to
know why?
Along.
You want to know why he got more playing time? Because we had no linebackers. If we had guys who were healthy last year, if we had Cole Holcomb, if we had Quan Alexander, he would have seen nil.
Yeah, because that was the game.
At the end of the season last year was because we had nobody.
That's the reason why.
You understand this, right?
That was the plan, was to bring him along slowly.
Like, it's been slowly, believe me. Couple seasons
slowly. This is what you do. This is what we used to do all the time with outside linebackers.
People have these contracts that are less the period of time than he's had to make this transition. It's unbelievable.
He's had 2 years. 2 years.
People get degrees in shorter periods of time than he got to learn.
2 years.
He's a football player. He's not a scientist.
This is what we use teams do all Jordan Love sat for 2 years. Was that a waste?
And of course, that's a whole different story. You bring him in to be your quarterback of the future, and you sit him behind Aaron Rodgers. He's not Jordan Love.
You're bringing in a seventh round draft pick to sit and learn from guys to be an eventual starter. It's the same thing, just different position.
If that wasn't for injuries, I would have seen no progress come his way last year, because he wouldn't have been on the field as much as he was on the field. There's literally nothing about him that's showing promise.
Like when you read articles about people who see him in practice day in, day out, that you see the improvement on the practice field.
You hear this, of course, but do you see it? I haven't seen it yet.
Because they're bringing him along slow.
Mike, 1%
is
ahead of him, but the 1% was injured last year. So what was his excuse?
Then they started playing him more, and he started making key plays. He started making hard run defense plays. He was being a run stopper.
I agree to disagree, but you know what? That's fine. We could do that here. And
hey,
I don't
you,
see
you
it.
Hate Mark Robinson. You have this
been. Mike, I never
Mark
hated
Robinson.
Mark Robinson once. I've always been I was always a fan, and I always talk about how much of a beast he was, and I always talked about how hard he hit, and I always talked about what's kind of a good defensive player he's going to be. That's hardly hating Mark Robinson. I could be honest with you. I've never said one thing that would make it indicate that I hated him. I'm just kind of blown away, because as you say, you do see these projects in the league. You do see people in the seventh round taking time. But to me, I'm having a little bit of trouble understanding the whole the whole process that it's taking with him. But again, Mike, we are entitled to agree in this great nation. So what we're going to do is let the people that are watching decide it, and we're going to move on. In the rumor mill, Steelers received several calls that are interested in Kenny Pickett. Actually, three different teams that I do have names. I'm going to name names: Minnesota, Denver, and New England are all three teams that at some point over several calls had gotten a hold of the Steelers in regards of, you know, interest of Kenny Pickett. He's not going anywhere just because we're so unsure what the hell we're doing at quarterback.
Yeah.
We do got a starter, but he's here 1 year, which tells me that we still are unsure what we're doing at quarterback.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious to see and continue to listen and play this, you know, see how this plays out with Kenny. I think that it would be interesting if he went to any of those teams. I don't know what Denver has going on down there, but I know, you know, New England got a carousel of, I think Jacoby Brissett's probably their best quarterback, but very interesting. Mike, real quick, if I can bother you, what is your timer right at this
moment? My timer is, I have 15 minutes. 15
okay,
minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly 15 too. Minutes. Yeah. Denver's all right. Quarterbacks, they got Ben DiNucci and Jarrett Stidham.
Oh, see, there you go.
That so would be, that would be the team right there. I'm surprised they're not the beating down the door for Kenny offering a decent package.
Yeah. Denver is in need of a lot of things.
Yeah.
The more you see them dismantle, more that you see that their safety is going to be leaving, more that you see that their receiver is going to be leaving, you think to yourself, wow, the bad year that they had last year when they lost 70-20 in a game, you think that more of that's coming Denver's way just because, you know, they didn't really have a lot going on. They didn't give Russell Wilson a lot to work with, and now you take and you strip that down.
Yeah,
you got to make you wonder, you know, where Denver's at. They're certainly not going to be competing with Kansas City in the AFC West for that division. I can tell you that, but they are rebuilding, Mike. These Denver Broncos,
big time, yeah. And they have what, the 12th pick overall. I don't know. I want to trade Kenny for their third 12th pick overall in the third round. Nah, forget that. F that. Hold up for more if you are going to meet Kenny, but that's just that'd be strange because then we would be in the market for a backup quarterback and then a developmental quarterback. No, I don't like that.
Yeah,
like I'm not the biggest Kenny fan in the world, but I know what I'm getting out of him, and I know
almost
like
Mark Robinson in a sense. Like, yeah, you know, with you know the work that we've put in, and do we want to start the process all over again?
Exactly,
you know?
And like he's a perfect backup because going to protect the ball and can pull out wins in the clutch. He reminds me of a modern day Charlie Batch.
So, I mean, we are in a good position. Despite what people think, we are in a pretty good position. We have a pretty good starting quarterback. We have a pretty good backup quarterback.
Yep.
Now we're in a search for a third string quarterback, which we're probably going to grab one in the, you know, one of those 100 picks we have in the sixth round if there's anything decent. So besides for that, as I said, New England as well. New England don't have much going on up there. I know they have Jacoby Brissett. Is Bailey Zappe still up there?
I think Zappe is still up there because he liked the Instagram post when it said they traded Mac Jones. Yeah, they have Jacoby Brissett, Bailey Zappe, and Nathan Rourke. They're picking, I believe, third. They're taking a quarterback.
Oh, absolutely. I see on most of the mock drafts I do see Drake May next to the New England Patriots name. So we will see, guys. We have the draft next week. We are smack dab in the middle of the beginning, of free agency, which started officially yesterday at 4 o'clock p.m. Here we are, guys. Things are happening. People are moving every 30 seconds of the day. Derpy is telling me who's getting signed.
Oh, God, yes.
And I got to tell you, Derpy, I do appreciate it because there are a lot of things, like if I'm at work or if I'm busy or whatever, I do get the updates from Derpy and I'm able to, you know, quickly, check them out if I do need to recall or remember something. So I do appreciate all your hard work, Derpy, of course. Guys, a few of these names that are sitting up top now of the I'm going to start off with Tyler Boyd with these receivers, of course, because they mentioned that there is mutual interest between him and the Steelers, possibly making something happen. I don't know what's taking long to pull the trigger. But however, I do know this, that the Patriots and Kansas City are also interested in grabbing Tyler Boyd for their offenses. So
Jets as well, too. Their players are reaching out.
If these guys are talking to him, you know, they want to maybe bring him in and talk to him. Maybe that's what's going on. But I think we have to grab something here pretty soon, being that we're sitting there with two people that we need to fill their positions. Derpy's sending over to me at times, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, of course, from the Chargers. Any of these guys, Mike, think could fall into that role as we start to get these receivers positions filled.
Like Mike Williams, he was the one released. Unfortunately, they did keep Keenan Allen. He would have been the one I would have jumped out all over. Williams, he gets those fluke injuries that just, you know, sideline him for the year. If he could stay healthy, yeah. But for the price that he can command in the open market and his injury concerns, I wouldn't do it unless it was on a team friendly deal. Then yeah, but nah.
Mike,
he can produce. It's just those injury concerns. I don't want that.
Is there anybody right now, as we speak, that you think to yourself, I wish that we would just jump on him. Let's get this person, bring him in. We're going to talk about a few guys that did get picked up yesterday that were in conversation. We talked about yesterday about potentially bringing here to the Steelers, Calvin Ridley off the top. He also signed with the Tennessee Titans, but we'll get more into those guys outside of the Steelers here shortly. But is there, Mike, anybody that any receivers that are sitting out there that you think to yourself, you know what, if we don't grab him, I'm not quite sure what we're going to do. Is anybody at the top of your list?
Right now, it's still Tyler Boyd. I'm starting to lean towards Curtis Samuels from where is he? The Commanders therapy.
Was he any good?
He's a Curtis decent. Yeah.
Yeah, but the Commanders.
Yeah. Oh, God. He had a crap. Or did he have a crap? No, he had a pretty good year. He had 91 catches, 600 yards, 4 TDs last year. So he would fill right into that Deontay Johnson type stats.
We're fighting he doesn't come with some kind of weird baggage. He's basically replacing Deontay Johnson. Yeah,
production-wise, from what we got out of Deontay the past 2 years, he would replace him. From what I read on, like, researching like his market value, he wouldn't cost that much. Like, you could more or less sign Tyler Boyd and Samuels for like their market value combined. Their contracts would be right in line or just a little bit less than Deontay. But for me, if you get those two guys, I think that would help that receiving core a lot.
Is there anybody, Mike, that's sitting up at the top of the list of receivers that that's better than that you you know, that you would rather have than Samuels? Or is this basically right now what you're thinking is going to be the, you know, this is going to be what we have? This is going to be
right now, like, he's outside of Tyler Boyd, he's the one that I would go after, because after that you're getting the guys that have like injury concerns.
Right.
You got Odell Beckham out there, but he's a head case.
You want to replace Deontay Johnson with Odell Beckham.
Michael Thomas, he has all the talent in the world, but he might as well just put him on your injury list.
So what this is leading me to believe, I'm leaning toward that we're probably going to grab Tyler Boyd, but the other position, the other receiver position, Mike, I'm thinking might fall in the line of we could maybe trade or give up, you know, maybe we do have some extra picks now from things we did, you know. So I mean, there are plays on the table. It doesn't necessarily have to be trying to find the best wide receiver in the free agency pool, but, you know, as I said, we could trade. You mentioned yesterday, I believe it was you that said that, you know, possibly doing something maybe miraculous in the first round, trading draft picks around and trying to move up a little bit to get a receiver in the first round. How likely do you think that is?
I'm starting to lean towards that more and more.
Really?
Yeah. I just have that feeling that they're going to want to target a skill position player to marry with their new quarterback and their new offensive coordinator.
It would be weird. I agree.
Because this like is the draft to address the line. You don't want to do sexy picks this
year. I agree. This is where this one gets tricky, Mike, because you know, everybody's going to want the grand slam. They're going to want it. They're going to want the grand salami, where you bring in that guy with a name out of college. It's a receiver that you could slide right in there and have Russell Wilson throwing him the football. But at the end of the day, you know, as you said, this is the utilitarian draft. You have to get your linemen. You got to get your interior linemen. You got to get the guys that you need. You know, and people that say, well, why don't you just kick the can down a little bit more? We have other issues on the line that we are going to kick down the road a little bit more and have to worry about next year and the year after. And, you know, and Siamalu's probably not going to be around for ever. And, you know, he's been in the league for a while. So, you know, this is a very important offensive line draft, Mike. And, you know, it wouldn't be crazy to say that if we do get our guy in the first round, try to tackle a tackle position also in the second round if a guy is looking pretty good in that second round. So, you know, it really threw things for a loop. As I said yesterday, it didn't surprise me that the trade with Deontay Johnson went down. But now that we're kind of sitting in the dust is settling, you know, you're kind of sitting left scratching your head thinking, okay, well, what exactly is it that we have up our sleeve? Because things are starting to not look like they make sense.
Because, you know, you trade him, you don't sign a center or a tackle in free agency, which are your two biggest needs on that line. Now you create a third huge opening, because right now your receiving room is George Pickens and Calvin Austin. And that's it. You know, the room's bare, at least with Deontay. Yeah, he may have been a weird
Miles
guy.
Boykin. You got Miles Boykin.
You're funny. But at least with like Deontay, you know, okay, you had your two guys. You had your two guys. You just had to find that third. You probably could have got that third in the draft, like in the third round with Roman Wilson coming out of Michigan. Now you got to try and go get someone in the first round or second round for a guy. I don't get it. I don't get it. If you would have addressed center or tackle in the draft, third free agency, and then traded for a receiver, then traded Deontay, I'd be all for it. But now,
and, you
it's
know,
just, it's
as
a
you
head
said,
stretcher.
This
the
is
more
the draft that we need to close the holes that we have.
And then we create a hole.
And then we create a hole. Which is a very unidealistic situation to be in, because when you fill the holes, you want to make it a more complete team. But this situation that we're in now with you know, initiated by the trade of Deontay Johnson, it puts us in that position that if we do go to try to fix some things, it's going to create problems somewhere else. And, you know, very interesting to see how this plays out with the wide receiver position. It's very interesting to see how this is going to play out just with, you know, through the remainder of the free agency. I mean, you know, as time goes on, players are going to disappear, and it's going to get a lot thinner as far as the pool of players go. So, you know, every day that goes by, I'm thinking, all right, well, let's just get, you know, let's get Tyler Boyd back home here. And then we'll kind of go from there. Let's see what's next after that. But I don't want to wait too long, because as I said, you got Kansas City and New England. And as you said, the Jets,
you know, the teams, Jets have players reaching
are very
out
interest to Tyler, very interested in Tyler Boyd. So, you know, let's say he disappears off the board today. You know, then you got to start thinking to yourself, all right, now what's the play? Because I think the obvious play right now on the table is Tyler Boyd. Take your shot and go grab him.
Exactly. Yeah. There's, you know, if you have to spend a little more, spend a little more.
Yeah.
To get him to, because you created a hole and now plug that hole, and then your draft will fall back into the way you need it. Tackle first, tackle or center first round, then that position in the second round. You can get a good corner in the third still, or that's the way to do it. But I'm having the feeling that they don't see tackle as a need. They like Dan Moore. I think he's just an average tackle. You can get by with him, but I don't want to get by with him anymore. I want him to be that swing tackle where he can.
Yeah, when you're
if, a big if game one of the guys goes down, put
when
him
you're
in
a big game situation. You don't want to be sitting there saying, well, if we had a tackle that's not Dan Moore, we would have been able to run better.
Yeah.
We would have,
like in a pinch, he's fine for a handful of games here or there. Over the long haul of the season, I want someone better. And I think they're like, you know what, we can get away with it. We can get away with them. And my another big fear of mine is that they're going to move Nasty Nate to center. He's going to be our center. Nate Herbig will be our center. And Dan Moore, your tackle, and we're going to go wide receiver, tight end, 1-2. I just have starting to get this weird vibe from this team right now.
I think they're going to go after the center in the first round. I still think they're going to get this taken care of. I don't think that they're going to let it get out of control. Omar Khan hasn't done anything yet to show us that it's going to get out of control. However, you know what? Anything is possible.
Yeah.
And if it does get to that point, and we are shifting these guys around and putting Nasty Nate at center, and you know that's when we have a problem. But it seems like we are ahead of the game. And for some reason, I believe to myself that Omar Khan and company does have something up their sleeve with these positions.
Like,
and you know, they went on and on about center for a very long time. in a you know, and it seems like this is what they're going to go after, and I find it really hard to think that that's not going to be what they go after in the first round. Yeah. Like and if they don't, I don't know what I don't. It's that throws everything off. Who knows what they'll do after that?
Like, I don't have, like, go center first round, move Dan Moore to right, Broderick to left. I think that might be a serviceable line right there. It, get a receiver in the second. You can
I'm drawing
still
a blank.
Get
Who's our right guard?
Right guard is James Daniels.
That's right, James.
Yeah, we don't have a right. He's also played center. He played a decent amount of center.
Is he any good?
Yeah. He was a good center, but he's a much better guard.
He's a
guard. I want to keep him at right guard. And, Chris, right. Him and Broderick were awesome on that right side. I'd like to get a tackle who can be left tackle and just plug him in and just go.
Yeah.
But, that's just me. I love Broderick on the right side. It's the way he moves that run game.
Hey, Brian on the board. He did say that Patrick Peterson wants to come back. I did see that. You know what? I'm done. I'm he did nothing for me. He caught that. He had that one interception, was kind of lobbed down the right sideline, and he was helping in double coverage, and he kind of landed underneath the interception. Wasn't much about Patrick Peterson. I think, you know, for that position, you're back there covering guys. You got to kind of be young, and you got to kind of be able. I don't know. I'm not a fan. If they bring him back, I guess I'll deal with it. But I'm not on board with the Patrick Peterson.
Like, I wouldn't mind as like a backup.
I mean, what's he been gone a half
safety.
Hour?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Nobody else seems to be knocking his door down.
Yeah. He reads the writing on the wall.
Right.
Like, you know, this might be my only shot.
Right. And that tells me something too. If you're desperate, there's 31 other teams that ain't, you know, coming after you.
Yeah.
Maybe we should leave this one alone. Again, I'm not for that. You know, put them in at a dime or something. I mean, for depth at the positions, maybe put them at center as I'm not centered. Safety as a backup or something. But you know what? I personally, I'm not on board with this. I don't want him back. But you know what? We'll see what they do. Something that goes right along the lines with Mr. Patrick Peterson back in the secondary was one of our favorites here from our very hometown of Monaca, Pennsylvania, Jordan Whitehead. He came off the board yesterday going back to Tampa Bay, mm-hmm. where he started his career, where he had an amazing career, where he won a Super Bowl. So Jordan Whitehead, guys, is off the table. Kind of upsetting. I would have liked to seen him occupy the position next to Minka back there. I thought they could be a very big playmaking group of safeties, but that one is gone too. So I mean, there are still some options. Mike Derpy, do you guys know any of the safeties that are still available out there, and is there anybody that wows you, anybody that you think is possible, and anybody that you know, you could see wearing the black and gold?
Obviously, you know, we're all going to keep hammering the board for Simmons. Yeah, he's the guy.
What's he want? Does he want a lot of money? What's his deal? Why haven't
I don't know what I don't know how much money he wants. According to like a Sport Track, pretty reputable place when it comes to salaries, like for their cap work and figuring out people's average salary, what they command. He would be like $11 million a year. Maybe okay. He wants a little bit more than that. Because he's just I forget what his last contract came out of.
Jamal's out there
around that. You know what? $11 million for him wouldn't be bad. He wasn't all pro last year. He's still the guy. And it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of teams are talking to him.
Can you imagine if we had two all pro safeties back here?
I'd die for that.
Also, Devin Bush is in Cleveland visiting the Browns today. Seattle must really love him. He was out there for a season. Now he's being shopped around. Devin Bush, you know what? I would love nothing more to see than Devin Bush land on that Cleveland Browns defense.
That would be the best. Oh my God, I'm dying. And I would take that defense from great to terrible.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Or our luck, he would just go ham and just be a fucking beast.
Yeah. Also in the division, around the division, guys. Joe Flacco is heading to the Colts on a one-year deal, $8.7 million. Joe Flacco, Colts, 1 year, $8.7 million. Who is their quarterback? Who's their starter?
Anthony Richards.
Anthony, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Richardson.
You know what? That's not bad then. Having bringing in somebody like Flacco, I think might be a good
Yeah,
idea.
and you know, Richardson got hurt last year, running around, not protecting himself. That's like it. Hopefully, that's something he can figure out because that kid is such a dynamic playmaker. It's fun to watch him play. Just don't always take the big hit. You don't always have to run.
Right. That's what's the problem with a lot of these athletic quarterbacks nowadays. It takes them one hit too long to learn this.
And dude has a cannon for an arm, so he can stand there in the pocket and just put it in the tight window. He needs to trust his arm more.
But if you do have Big Joe Flacco back there, apparently, you know, he's an asset. So if things happen and you do need to put him in, I learned a little bit of a lesson because once he was gone from Baltimore and he played for the Jets and he disappeared, I wrote him off. I thought, you know what, this guy's done. But he came back. He did some amazing things last year for the Browns offense, which surprised and, you know, disappointed me all at the same time. But as we see, he's still very productive, and which is why another reason that I feel comfortable with the move that we made, having a person that's not exactly 22 years old anymore. So I, you know, if Flacco can do it, I certainly think that Russell Wilson can do it. Next, also in the division, guys, the Ravens reached out to the San Francisco 49ers about a possible trade for Deebo Samuel via Jason Lockefora. Mike, who else can these Baltimore Ravens pull in on this team?
Well, they're going to need receiver help because, you know, they just cut Odell.
Imagine having Zay Flowers.
Well, Zay
and Deebo
Flowers
Samuel.
Is in legal trouble. So,
and then
you
Deebo
know,
Samuel, and then Henry in the backfield, and Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
I mean, they're talking about a team that's really going all in.
Yeah, like if Zay Flowers can get his legal stuff figured out, and he didn't, you know, beat that woman up, and then you add in a Deebo Samuels, okay, you have an upgrade from last year's receiving corps, and then you know their young tight end came along. That'd be nice.
Oh, they got these tight end, dude.
Isaiah Likely, and then they got what's his name coming back? Mark Andrews coming back. Yeah.
The only thing that team really, I mean, come on,
they're
that
going
offense.
All in. They are going all in if they can pull that trade on.
Tell you what, the AFC North, which was the toughest division last year and the strongest division last year,
it's getting better.
It certainly seems to just keep getting stronger and tougher. And
except for Cincinnati.
Maybe I can't. The Cincinnati's getting dismantled, which is awesome. But you figure one of these teams from this division that's, obviously becoming one of the strongest will at some point give Kansas City maybe a little bit of competition.
Hopefully one of us can give them a run for
them. Able to be one of the teams that could knock that. Also, let's see. There's the Justin Fields trade rumors continue to swirl. I thought they were happy with him again, and they were trading down. Let me give you some teams.
UFL?
Well, here's a handful of teams that I do know that are interested at the moment where his name is linked to: the Philadelphia Eagles, the Indianapolis Colts, the Denver Broncos, the Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, you might as well every team that I could think of in the NFL, he's on the list. Mike, does Justin Fields actually leave Chicago or not? Or do
no.
they know? Does anybody
no.
know?
Like, no.
No, like I was talking about this to someone at work. I'm like, keep him there, draft Caleb Williams. Don't have an open competition. Say, okay, Caleb's going to be our guy, but Justin's going to be our backup. And then if Caleb Williams goes out there and starts to struggle a little bit, pull him out of just the game. Let Fields go and mop up. Let Caleb watch it. You know, watch the game from the sideline right there. Then later on in the season. We saw how many quarterbacks got hurt last year. You have Justin Fields sitting there. Once teams start losing quarterbacks, they start get panicky. He might have greater value during the season than he does now.
You're right.
So that's what I would do. I would hold him and still draft Caleb Williams. I'd be like, guys, look, this is what's going on. You know, Justin, you're going to be our backup. Caleb, you're our new shiny toy. You know, the team's yours.
You're right.
But how would that whole dynamic work? Because, you know, when you got
two
guys
Chicago.
That want to be the guy going at it, how is that going to work?
So here you go. You got two guys who are supposed to be your number one guys in Chicago. Think about that. Take all them words that I just said and put it together and make it make sense in your mind.
Yeah.
Chicago is literally the worst team for quarterbacks. I can't go through all the teams in the league and think of anybody that's historically worse at that position than the Chicago Bears. Now you got a guy that, you know, you don't know if he's going, you don't know if he's staying. Then you got another guy who could be your number one pick. It's just another Chicago disaster with this quarterback position. And you know what? I can't really look at it as anything else, because until something in that organization happens to show you that it's just not a complete cluster for these quarterbacks, I cannot think otherwise, Mike. I just see this being one disaster after another disaster. They'll trade him. He'll become the best quarterback.
It'll work
whatever
out
they do.
Else.
Yes. Yeah. Whatever they do, it's going to backfire on Chicago. You could guarantee it.
Yeah.
You could put your money on it.
Like, and they're building. Like we say, they always seem to find a good defense, and they're building a really good defense out there. They're getting some nice skill position players. But they're going to get a quarterback, and they're just going to ruin them. They're just going to ruin the quarterback. Maybe they should do something different and try and get an established veteran quarterback.
Right.
Maybe they should have been in the market for, you know, Kirk Cousins for a couple of years, getting the market on Russell Wilson. Go that route for a change. Maybe they back up the Brinks truck to Baker Mayfield is what they should have done.
Right.
Just instead of trying to go with rookie quarterback after rookie quarterback after rookie quarterback.
It's really comical. It really is comical about the, you know, the same organizations year after year after year. And it's not just for 3-5 years. It's not for just 10 years. This has been going on my whole life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Chicago Bears, like I said, the best quarterback they had was Jay Cutler. And then the runners up would be Jim McMahon and Rex Grossman.
Rex Grossman. Who took him to a Super Bowl?
That's what I'm saying. So,
like, talk about Peyton Manning got lucky, hit the quarterback he had to face in this first Super Bowl. Rex Grossman. I was hoping Rex Grossman would have pulled that one out.
That would have been something.
But yeah, but like you're saying, like Jay Cutler, McMahon, and Rex Grossman were your best quarterbacks. And you know, Justin Fields was a first round pick. And like you hope Caleb Williams can be that guy, but even if he, you know, he's supposed to be a generational talent, if it's still a 50-50 shot, if it's going to work out or not.
Right. There's no guarantees.
Yeah. And their history, their track record shows you're going to bet against it working.
Mike, you know who really, really fits into place in Chicago, in my opinion? And you mentioned his name, because let me paint the picture here. The one playoff win in 12 years, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Talking about a guy who could come in, play quarterback for your team and not win. That is the Chicago Bears thing I've ever heard. He could have came there, did all kind of amazing things, been the top guy in Chicago, threw all over the field, and still not won, because that's what Chicago does, no matter how good their quarterback is. And as I said, they haven't had many great ones. But that seemed like that would have been a perfect fit for both of those guys.
Yeah.
He could have went. And obviously, the Bears, they you know, sometimes they get in a situation and they're not hesitant to throw money at people, even though it's not going to do great things for them. They should throw all their money at Cousins, had you know, him go out, do what he does, and then I'll eventually not win. One playoff win in 12 years, Mike. How in the hell did this guy become a quadrazillionaire? Did you look at the amounts of money he made over the years?
$400 million.
Playoff win in 12 years.
Well, it's not his fault. It's the defense, man. Every defense he's been a part of has collapsed. It's always the defense's fault.
Like, because the teams have the worst defense.
Fellas, I got something.
Derpy. What you got, Derpy?
Apparently, it just happened, but apparently the Eagles and the Falcons are getting investigated for tampering.
The Eagles and the Falcons are getting investigated for tampering?
Yeah. Oh, during the legal tampering period. Yeah, because apparently James Franklin said someone from the Eagles was talking to Saquon Barkley, and that's why he went there. That's a no. And apparently something happened with the Kirk Cousins signing, too. People from Atlanta were apparently talking to him as well. Is that correct, Derp?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, as long as they ain't us.
Yeah. But Kirk Cousins, though, he is a product of this era of football. 4,000 yards, 4,000, 4,000, 3,600, 4,200, 4,500 yards.
And one
he puts up
win.
Those numbers, but one playoff win.
That's
this era of football is designed for quarterbacks to put up those type of numbers. If you're just an above average quarterback, you should be able to put up those numbers.
Yeah.
And that's what he's been able to do.
Also, so, a couple
he's just not a game winning quarterback. He won't win you the big game. A
couple other guys, Mike, that we've talked about over the past few days. Of course, Calvin Ridley, Derpy's guy he wanted to see. The former wide receiver out of Jacksonville. Derpy wanted to see him come here and fill one of the wide receiver roles. Calvin Ridley goes to the Tennessee Titans yesterday. Titans are pulling in some guys.
Overpaying.
They're pulling in some guys. I didn't realize Calvin Ridley was going to be, 30 years old by the time this season starts. And this contract they gave him was bigger and more guaranteed money than the contract they refused to give to A.J. Brown before they traded him to the Eagles.
And you got to think, too, I mean, now, you know, you had Trevor Lawrence slinging the ball around down in Jacksonville. Now you got, you know, your second year Levis, and you got an unsure Rudolph and Malik Willis who hasn't. So it's going to be interesting to see if he's even able to produce to where that's even worth it for these guys. I don't think it's going to be. And the other name, guys, that came off the list yesterday that was somebody that we talked about for the past two seasons was Bobby Wagner. He was on his way to the Washington Commanders. Of course, after we got Patrick Queen, I had zero interest in Bobby Wagner, but this football player who is still, I think he's still 100 plus tackles every season, easy. He is finally leaving Seattle and going to Washington, which is interesting, Mike, because you have Devin Bush looking to leave as well. So whatever Seattle's doing in the middle of that defense, they're kind of probably in the same position we're in.
Yeah, they need to figure out
what we were in. Doing.
Yeah. And they, I don't know what they have up there, but Bobby Wagner's a huge, huge loss.
Oh, I would have loved to have Bobby Wagner. But as I said, I am very content with the Patrick Queen signing. And that may either him or Russ may be my next Steeler jersey. So it's remains to be seen. I do love my guy. These are two, as I said, these are probably the two biggest free agency signings in our lifetime, with the exception of, James Ferrier is the one that everyone's saying. Yeah. And then also yesterday on Brian's show, he did say Deuce Staley at the time was a pretty big.
Staley, that was a huge signing. Yeah, because we saw Bettis. Yeah.
Mike, let's move on for a few minutes because we are got a lot of things we got to talk about still. The Pitt Panthers, they are back in action today, guys. We are in the third round of the ACC tournament, which is going on right now. The number one North Carolina Tar Heels are playing the Florida State Seminoles, who are number nine. They're playing at the moment. It started at noon. The second game, now the winner of the game that I just mentioned, North Carolina and Florida State, they'll play the winner of our game, and we play Wake Forest. That game is at 2:30 today, guys. So 2 hours from now, the number five Wake Forest will be taking on the number four Pitt, and the winner of that will play the winner of North Carolina and Florida State, which will be over here in a while. It's 22-19 right now, North Carolina. Also in the bracket, we have it's 7 p.m. number 10 NC State taking on number 2 Duke, and the winner of that game is going to be playing the winner of the number 11 Boston College and number 3 Virginia game that takes place tonight at 9:30 p.m. So it's getting down, guys. We're going to have the championship here in a couple of days on Saturday, and then we'll head right into Selection Sunday and see how things go. But Mike, the Pitt Panthers play against Wake Forest, who split this year. They won at home, then they went down there and got killed.
Yeah.
If we could pull this off, I think things are looking good. But again, you run into North Carolina next round. If in fact they beat Florida State, which I guess nothing's out of the question. But let's go Pitt.
Let's go Pitt, and they need this win.
They need this win.
Definitely need this win to make it to the tourney. I have a feeling if they don't win this one, I don't think they're going to make it. Feels like the whole committee and the whole selection process really doesn't want Pitt in there unless they have to have Pitt in.
Right. Buckos back in action yesterday. They take the L to the Blue Jays 10-3. O'Neal Cruz hits another missile, Mike. Mm-hmm. He now is the leader. No other player in the spring training has more home runs than O'Neal Cruz. Boys, are going to be nice to have him back in the lineup. It was rough having him out all season last year. The Pirates are back in action today at 3:05 against the Orioles again. And then they have the Yankees tomorrow. If you're interested in that kind of thing, they do have the Yankees. One observation that I did make as I was reading up on Paul Skenes, guys, Paul Skenes, he had 24 home runs in college.
Yeah.
As I was talking on Brian's show yesterday, he said that they are talking about he could possibly be an Ohtani kind of player.
Well, I'll let him hit. Let him hit.
I would too. I mean, if he's a hitter, let him hit.
Yeah. And, you know, this team needs offense. So let him go out there and swing away. But, do we really want our potentially our ace out there hitting and getting hurt?
The Pittsburgh Pirates would never do it. Yeah, again, this is something that's a little bit more advanced than us.
For the Buccos, yeah.
Yeah, it's going on the West Coast, but it'll never happen here.
Yeah, throw him out there in spring training. See if he can hit. Don't let him lose that skill set.
Penguins back in action tonight against the San Jose Sharks. Sharks come in with a 16-41-7 record. Mike, this should be a team that the Penguins can hang with at least. Penguins coming in at 28-27-9. That game is at home at 7 o'clock, and the big story on that is somebody stole. It was supposed to be Yammer Yager bobblehead night.
Yeah,
I don't know how many got stolen, Mike, but somebody stole a shitload of the Yammer Yager.
It was like the whole truckload.
Did they take the truck?
Really? They stole the whole truck.
They did a Fast and Furious type thing. Apparently, I guess this is what I'm making up in my head, but I know it was like the whole shipment is stolen.
So if you're going to the game tonight and you're excited about your Yammer Yager bobblehead,
it has been stolen.
It's been stolen.
It ceases to
true
be.
Story. It doesn't That's really happen in real life.
Yeah, it is wild. This
That's
this team, man,
right
is it, wow. It's they are cursed this season. It's bad.
You know what it was? You don't bring in Ron Hextall to be your guy. He's a lifelong Philadelphia Flyer. You're the Pittsburgh Penguins. You bring in Ron Hextall. Hey, you have to deal with the repercussions now.
Say what you will, but this did not happen under Ron Hextall's watch.
Yeah, but this all the curse now is coming in because of Ron
Hextall. Like, you know, Gritty on Twitter is like, you know, tell him it was me, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? This might have been the Philadelphia Flyers Stanley Cup. They haven't won one since when? 1974.
What's stealing Yammer Yager bobbleheads?
Yeah, this is their Stanley Cup. But, you know, something bad happened to the Penguins. They're going to raise it up into the rafters. Yager's bobblehead stolen. You know,
they're all
they can't
passing
win
them
anything.
Around like you pass the cup around. They're passing all the bobbleheads
around. Yeah, because that's all they have right now.
And PIAA basketball, of course, I mentioned yesterday the Lincoln Park one. I'm going to talk about the Beaver County teams primarily because that's where we are out of, particularly the Aliquippa Quips. They play Eisenhower yesterday. They beat Eisenhower, guys. Aliquippa 79, Eisenhower 47. So they now move on to the third round as well as Lincoln Park. Lincoln Park will play Friday. I'm not sure who they play just yet. And Aliquippa will play on Saturday.
So quick.
In the third round. So these guys, another round closer, a couple more wins, and LP could defend there. They could. Yep. I can't remember if Aliquippa actually won the state last year. I know LP did, but both of these teams
I can't
really
remember
close.
What Quip did.
The Aliquippa is just always winning in everything. It's hard to keep track of what state, what's Whippeal, you know. Mike, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody about the website, man?
The2DumbYinzers.com. Excuse me. The2DumbYinzers.com over there. You know, we got our blog, which, you know, I'm not sick again, everyone. So yes, the blog will be updated this weekend. We got the merch store over there. We got the links for all of our mine and Ryan's social medias all over there. All at the2DumbYinzers.com. Check it out.
All right, guys. Today's just gonna be a general Steeler trivia question for our question of the day. This is from the 70s teams. From the 70s teams. Derpy, Mike, put your thinking hats on, guys, on the board. Do the same. Here we go. Question of the day, guys. This is a general Steeler trivia question from the 70s teams. And here we go. In which season, and I'm looking for a calendar year, okay?
Okay.
In which season did Terry Bradshaw win both the NFL MVP in the Super Bowl MVP? There was a year that he did win both. And I'm looking for a calendar year, guys. In which year did Terry Bradshaw win both the NFL MVP and the Super Bowl MVP? Go ahead and think it over. I'll give you choices in a moment if you would like. We are live, everybody. We're live every day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern time, right here. If you missed a show or you just rather listen to the show, maybe the only opportunity that you have is to listen to the show, have your earbuds in, mowing the lawn, whatever it is. You could always check us out in podcast form over on Spotify. We take the brand new live show that we do every day and we upload it over on Spotify in podcast form. So you can listen to the new show every day. Go check it out. All right, guys, the question of the day is this. In which year did Terry Bradshaw win both NFL MVP and Super Bowl MVP? Guys, do you want the years, something to pick from, or do you have an idea?
I have an idea.
All right, Derpy.
I'm going to go with my gut. No choices.
All right. All right, so, Mike, let's start with you today. What year would it have been that Bradshaw accomplished both of those feats?
79.
1979. Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
All right, I'm locking Mike in place. Mike says in 1979, Bradshaw won both the NFL MVP and the Super Bowl MVP. Let me go over to Derpy. Derpy, which year was it that Bradshaw won both the NFL MVP and the Super Bowl MVP? Mike says 1979. What do you think?
1979.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
All right. Got Derpy locked in, guys. So here we go. Question of the day. In which year did Terry Bradshaw win both NFL MVP and Super Bowl MVP? Both Mike and Derpy, they both said 1979. The correct answer, guys, is 1978.
Oh.
So close.
Oh, man. Wrong Super Bowl.
So close. Dallas 2.0 it was.
Yeah, I thought it was the Rams.
And I was
Franco had the MVP in that one, right? Against the Rams.
Yeah.
For that big
run. All I was going to do was just give you all the years of the four Super Bowls. So yeah. I don't know if it would have made it.
It would no. It would be like, oh, 79. Yeah.
No.
Hell yeah. Right. So there that be. Mike, anything before we start getting ready to wrap it up, man?
I got a whole lot of nothing, man. I've been searching Twitter for something to talk about right at the end of the show.
It's going to happen after. It's going to happen even, after.
Apparently, our boy AB is saying that, you know, look out, the Steelers are going to trade for Justin Jefferson. Apparently, that's AB's rumor. I, you know what? I want what he's smoking.
What did I see the other day? It said something reported by AB, and I thought, what the?
are we quoting AB as credible sources now?
Yeah.
This is what I like. I'm still trying to be AB's cracker of the day.
I was going to be my word, so you just hold on 1 second.
I'm sorry.
I have a prestigious award for you today.
Okay.
Derpy, anything before we get ready to take off?
Yeah. We got a safety.
Who?
Who?
It just happened. Deshaun Elliott.
Who's Deshaun Elliott?
I don't know. It just happened.
Well, you gotta come with some more than that. Kill me, Derpy. Where are you seeing this, bud?
Steelers Depot.
Just type in Deshaun Elliott.
Deshaun Elliott. Deshaun.
He was definitely not on the list. Deshaun Elliott, as Derpy had just announced, guys, he's seeing the Steelers assigned Deshaun Elliott. Mike, do you see anything?
Yep. Say you did 2 years, 2 years, $6 million.
All right, so we got a new safety, everybody. The Pittsburgh Steelers had just signed Deshaun Elliott on a 2 year, Mike. What was it? 2 year?
2 years, $6 million.
$6 million. So there you go, guys. The search for safety is over. The guy.
I'm hoping there's more than Deshaun Elliott.
Where did he come from? Who is he? I'm not familiar with his name.
Miami. He spent 3 years in Baltimore, a year in Detroit, and then a year in Miami.
All right. So there you go, guys.
Been an inconsistent starter from what, like, just started one. Was a full-time starter 1 year in Baltimore, and then started 13 out of 14 in Detroit, and then started 15 games down in Miami. So it looks like he was injured for at least two of those games.
I'm going to text Shrox later up in Detroit, see if I can find out any scoop on this guy. So there you go, guys. The search for safety is over. We'd signed Deshaun Elliott out of Miami.
Yeah. So in 2022, he had 96 tackles when he was in Detroit. Last year, he had 82. So he's around the ball. 7 pass breakups last year. That's good. 1 pick last year. 3 in his career, and they've all come in the last 3 years. So he's around the ball a lot by those tackles and those pass defense that you can see in the interception. So I'm going to have to do some more research because his name was not anywhere near the top of my list.
I was not even a name I was familiar with, I'm going to be honest with.
Me either.
So there you go, guys. Deshaun Elliott is the new safety brought in by the Pittsburgh Steelers as of 2 minutes ago. You hear it here first. I hope today they continue to go after people and maybe go after the receiver positions today. But we do have our new safety, Deshaun Elliott. Mike, it is time, unfortunately, for us to wrap up. I did promise you a prestigious award. I do have to say, Mike, here on the show, you are the cracker of the week. I was going to give you cracker of the day, but you do such a good job. Whatever it is that makes you a cracker, you are that. And from every day this week so far, you are, Mike, this week's cracker of the week. So
you know what? I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I want to thank AB for being the inspiration. Always loved Mr. Big Chess. He's always been one of my favorite. He's one of my favorite Steelers of all times. He might be greatest receiver I've ever seen play.
You got to thank the Academy as well.
All right. I'm already over it. So listen, we want to thank everybody for checking us out. We appreciate each and every one of you guys. everybody on the board, you always guys make it interesting. We wouldn't do it without you. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us. I am going to go learn a little bit more about Deshaun Elliott, who is our new safety here in Pittsburgh as of about 4 minutes ago. Mike Derpy, anything before we wrap it up, fellas?
My camera says I'm done. Camera's ready.
I got the team they're playing from Lincoln Park.
What's that?
Who's Lincoln Park playing?
I got the North Catholic.
Oh, that's going to be a good one. Yep. That is, they played each other already. Lincoln Park beat them, but it will be a good game because that was one of their tougher games. So there you go, guys. That will be this weekend. But for Mike in the Steeler Mobile Studio, for Derpy, myself, the two dumb Yinzers, everybody have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No.